Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Friday. Woo! Start your sports weekend on the right side. Ray and Tay.
Hello, hello, and welcome to a Friday show. It's Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. If you want to join the adventure and a busy, exciting, action-packed show, give us a call, 718-664-9098, like always, at rayandtaytoday.com, and also for the email. Because we love getting your emails. All the fantasy football stuff is exciting and funny. So it's rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. And we're very interactive on Twitter, Facebook. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, we got a lot of poll questions. So go to the website, answer some of our poll questions, check out the photos. You know, you got NFL league leaders, the schedule, college football, all the information you need. And the NBA is around the corner, Ray. So let them know what we are talking about today.
All right, so we've got some breaking news around the world of the NBA. The NHL started its season. Major League Baseball, we'll get into some Major League Baseball. We had some playoff games. We had, since we last spoke, we had a couple of playoff series start, a couple of the NL, both NLCSs.
DSs.
We've got some college football to preview. And then, so that's the Saturday, folks. And then the Sunday, folks, we'll talk about what happened last night. Bills and Browns, one of those teams is 3-2. Who would have thunk it? Both quarterbacks go down. Both starting quarterbacks go down. We'll talk about that. We also will preview five games, very exciting games with over 500 teams in this week five of the NFL. Remember, a lot of people on bye, so for all you fantasy folks, make sure your rosters are right. And then at the end, speaking of fantasy, we're going to, Ray and Tay, we're going to bring you some fantasy advice on start 'em, sit 'em. We've got a bunch of different games we're looking at for you, so we'll keep you
Get with that hero, that zero.
Exactly. So let's get into it. So let's—you talked about the NBA. So let's start with the NBA. Let's start with Russell Westbrook.
God bless him. You know the stitch in the knee. He had his surgery. People thought he might be back at the start of the season, but it's looking like he had to go in and have another procedure. So they're saying 4 to 6 weeks, and then, you don't even know in terms of rehab time. You know, you got to believe that that puts more pressure on Durant. And then to start the season, what's important for OKC in the West with all that competition with the Clippers, Golden State, the Spurs, Denver, the Rockets, it's seeding. So this is something that potentially, if they don't have a great start, could put them in a road, seeding situation for the first round as a 5 seed. We'll see. It's Reggie Jackson who's got to step up. It's Jeremy Lamb who's got to step up. So we'll see how it plays out for them. Are you sort of, I guess, I can't say are you shocked or surprised because anything could happen with a surgery, but how do you think that they'll be able to sort of withstand missing him in the early part of the season?
Well, they struggled in the playoffs last year, and I think they'll continue to struggle. They still have a mega star in Kevin Durant on the team, but I think everybody on that team tries to do too much. Now, the good thing for them is that they were able to practice for this scenario, quote-unquote, in the playoffs last year. They didn't do particularly well is the bad part. So I think they'll struggle. I think they'll be, maybe a slightly better than a 500 team without Russell Westbrook, and then obviously with Russell when he's healthy, they're an elite team. They may still make the finals, but like you said, they're going to have to come out of that 3, 4, 5 slot in the West if Russell misses a significant amount of time.
Yeah, no, that could be rough. And then speaking of rough, how would you like to start your NBA career as a coach and small owner suspended for 2 games. Well, that's what happened to Jason Kidd for his whole, you know, DUI situation that happened the start of or right before last year's season as a Knick player. So he gets 2 games. Do you think now that he's sort of a coach and on the different side, is that too little, 2 games for Jason Kidd? Or should it be 5, 7? What do you think the NBA did here?
I don't know. The NBA, look, there's no precedent. I mean, I guess the Denver had this issue, the Broncos had this issue with a couple of their people in their front office, and they were much harsher than the NBA was in terms of a 2-game suspension. The other question is, since he was a player then, I think you have to treat it as if he was a player. I mean, the fact that he's a coach now doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So whatever the appropriate suspension is, and I guess it's two games. I mean, I don't know what the precedent is in the NBA, but it sounds about right for the NBA. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, no, I guess that's kind of fair. And, you know, we just keep it moving and stuff. But I have to laugh because I said to Ray off air, our boy Kobe Bryant has dipped out of the country to get another procedure done.
Kobe.
Procedure. So it's probably not surgery. Maybe it's the blood spinning in Germany, you know, whatever it is. But best believe, ladies and gentlemen, if Kobe Bryant is going to find an edge or a way to get healthier, quicker, and to be, you know, a young, 17-year veteran or whatever he is now, he will get it done. So I don't know if he's in Germany. I don't know if he's in Cuba, but you know he'll be back on the court ASAP. So, hey, I wish Kobe well, and they need him because they're going to be struggling for that 8th seed in the West with Portland and Minnesota and all these other teams. Do you think it's smart for Kobe, or do you think the season for L.A. is a complete wash? Just because Nash is so old, no Dwight, and the cast of misfits that they've signed there are just oof.
Well, they'll be 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 are in the West. They'll be in that range. And Kobe probably thinks to himself, I only have, it could be this is my last year, or maybe I go 1 or 2 more years. So he's always put it on the line. For whatever you can say about Kobe, you can't say that he didn't show up for work, for practice, for
definitely.
Team-related, you know, anything related to getting on the court. So he's going to do as best he can to get back on the field. Did you see him running on an anti-gravity treadmill?
Listen,
wow.
That's Kobe.
And I had that injury, so I know it takes a while. But maybe if you're Kobe, you know, you get the blood platelet therapy, and then you do the anti-gravity running, and he showed up to be, he's at practice today. Now, granted, he's not practicing full practice with the team, but he's there. He's at practice. So, good for Kobe.
That's Kobe. That's Kobe in a nutshell.
Speaking of the Lakers, though,
So
Dwight Howard, Kobe's ex-teammate, is now in Houston, and Kareem, who's doing a book promotion, was out there talking about big men, and he basically said, did you catch this? He basically said about Dwight that his head wasn't really, he didn't really have a great understanding of the game, and that
no
he was easy to defend in 2009 when the Orlando Magic met the Lakers in the finals.
He was coaching Bynum and Gasol.
Right, and he said it was easy to defend. You take away his one move or his favorite move, and then he doesn't really have any backup moves after that. And then two, he said, again, he was killing him about the free throw shooting and basically called it not only a flaw in his game, but he doesn't understand that a big man needs to have that and improve that. And what was interesting, I didn't realize that he shot 67% from the free throw line as a rookie, and last year he shot 47%. So, you know, usually people go the other way around. They get into the NBA and they more or less, I mean, either stay the same or improve. But he dropped 20 percentage points on his free throw shooting. That's crazy.
It's a lot. And, you know, look, I'll say this. We'll see how Dwight is this year. I think he'll be healthy. I think he's in a good situation. He did the right thing going to Houston, playing with Harden and those guys in that roster is really deep. But, you know, I can't get mad at Kareem, you know, for, I guess in some ways, we talked about our top 15 last year, and Kareem is high up in there for both of us. But I think Kareem, out of all the great legends, even that are, you know, still living and retired, he gets the least amount of respect. I really feel that. And I think Kareem is, you know, if you compared high school, college, and NBA, he's had the greatest career of any basketball player ever.
Oh, sure.
And that's without any argument or question when you do all three. So if Kareem says something about – now, look, Dwight is working with Hakeem Olajuwon, the Dream, who is officially on the Rockets' payroll now. So between McHale and the Dream, I bet you Dwight Howard's a little bit better this year with everything, free throws, more post moves. So we'll see if Howard sort of, you know, puts the old guy in his place and shuts him up. But Kareem's criticisms, I think they're kind of fair. You can't, you know, you can't say IQ with free throws, but you could say about the you know, pick and roll, how he switches. You could definitely say about his post moves. He's been in the league too long not to have more moves and not to be able to get in the post. And even Shaq has criticized him. Shaq has said Lopez is better than him, Bynum, you know. So it's been out there. This is really nothing new in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So,
for sure. All right, well, let's keep it moving. So we
keep
talked
it moving.
About basketball.
How about the
We've
pucks?
We got the NHL season starting. So we had the Stanley Cup talk starting already. Even on Ray and Tay, we were talking about who you got for the Stanley Cup.
Well, you know what's fascinating? You got to say this about hockey, right? The Blackhawks are defending their championship. They beat Boston in two of the original six teams. Opening night, you got a guy going to the hospital, a fight on the ice, the concussion. I can't believe hockey is proud of that. It just annoys me as a fan. But in this season, there's a lot of interesting things. You know, they switched the divisions around. Detroit's gone to the east. You know, now you've got the whole playoff seeding instead of three. You've got two divisions in each conference. So tell me, because we have similar picks, I think, but who are you thinking that's going to go to the Stanley Cup and win it this year for
First
hockey
of all, did you 2013-14? See Patrick Roy? I don't know if you saw Patrick Roy went crazy last night. That's our boy, though.
I know.
They love him. In Colorado.
And a little passionate, would you say?
Back in the days in Montreal. That's our boy, Patrick Roy. He's crazy. I mean, he was doing this in, like, junior hockey when he was coaching over there. So, all right. So, in terms of the Stanley Cup, look, this realignment, to me, is very, very interesting,
yeah.
Right? Because especially because Detroit goes from the west to the east. So, I'm going to go a little contrarian and pick – a lot of people are picking Pittsburgh. A lot of people are picking Boston. I'm actually going to go with Detroit from the east.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go Detroit from the east, right?
Right.
And then in the Western Conference, you know, I don't want to go chalk, but I can't see Chicago not being in the finals. I think the Chicago Blackhawks should be in the finals. So I like a Detroit-Chicago. How interesting is that? They used to be in the same conference, and now I think they'll face each other in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Okay, I can't really argue with you. You know, to be a bit different, because I was kind of feeling Chicago too, I'll say that they'll get to the Western Conference Finals. And I really think you got to look for San Jose, the LA Kings, and the Phoenix Coyotes, who've got new ownership. I think those will be sort of the final four in the West. And I'm going to say in the West, kind of feeling, I was thinking the Kings, who won the year before, but
okay.
I'm going to go with San Jose. I don't know. I think that they might be able to put it together. They got bumped in the first round, I think, the last 2 years. And then in the East, I like Detroit. I like Boston and Pittsburgh. You know, Boston, I don't know. They were tough last year. It's kind of hard to go against them. I just don't know about some of the off-season things that went down with them. I would kind of feel you in Detroit, but you know what? I'll go with Boston. And so I think Boston this year actually beat San Jose, and they sort of avenged their loss last year, and Boston gets the cup this year. I think Boston, that town, has got some good mojo going on with the Red Sox, Bruins, you know, the Patriots, ever since the marathon. So, you know, God bless them, and I wish them well, but I think the Bruins could do it in hockey. So, and we'll chime in every once in a while. We're not big hockey heads. We're old-school hockey fans, and we respect, you know, our listeners, so we'll update you along the way like we did last year. But, you know, we also have got to talk a little bit about, as we get into the, you know, college football and the baseball, but real quick, A-Rod Why don't you tell them what A-Rod is doing? Because I think it's just absurd.
So A-Rod is suing Major League Baseball in New York State court, alleging that baseball is tarnishing his reputation and is basically going after him and trying to ruin his reputation.
Stop him from doing business and, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes. It seems like, you know, you could argue that's either a delay tactic or kind of away from the point. I mean, maybe that goes on concurrently, but let's figure out if he needs to be suspended from baseball first, and then you could sue baseball second, right? To me, they're you know, sequential, or you can do them at the same time. But let's figure out if and when he's going to be suspended and for how many games. Let's not have that hanging over the heads for too long.
Right.
Let's get this over.
And his argument is still
November.
That. Is he still going with the, you know, I didn't know what I put in my body argument?
No, I think somebody from his camp came out and said, that wasn't us. You didn't hear that from us. So
okay.
The other rumor was that he thought about it, and maybe they leaked it to the media, and they wanted to see what the reaction would be. And then people said, no, that doesn't fly. I have no idea. But his camp officially came out and said, that's not us. We never said that. So he's actually never said. He's never defended himself, you know, in public. So he just said, we want to let the process do its thing. So speaking of baseball, let's keep going on baseball. So first of all, Dusty Baker was fired just 3 years after losing the wild card. So that I don't know. That hurts.
You feel bad for him.
Yeah, you figure
they
won 90.
Look, they lost in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost 2 years in a row in the playoffs. But did you hear this stat, though, that he's made it? He has the most playoff appearances without a World Series win than any other manager, 7.
Wow. Okay.
7 playoff series he's made it in. So 7 times. You know, I feel bad for Dusty. I just said to you the other day, he's one of my favorite managers. I think he's good. I just think the Reds players, you know, I think the Cueto injury hurt them more than people realize. And, you know,
well,
Chapman's
especially
great.
After having been out for 2-3 months, having to rely on him as your one game, elimination game pitcher, and, you know, he just didn't have his stuff. I mean, you could have a bad day, but I'd rather, you know, not see a guy, manager, fired because his number one starter couldn't win a game after having been out for 3 months. But, you know, we'll see. Dusty will land on his feet. He'll get another managerial job. But speaking of baseball, so we got baseball going on right now. So we got the Pittsburgh Pirates up 3-0 right now in the bottom of the fourth against the Cardinals. So Pedro Alvarez has another home run. He had a 2-run homer. And Cole
hit one in the first game.
Yeah, and he hit it off Lance Lynn, and so it looks like if the Pirates split here, this could be an interesting series.
Well, who do you have in the series?
I gotta think the Cardinals. I gotta think St. Louis is just, their offense is too deep. We were on the phone, Ray and Tay. We were talking to each other, and the stat that they had up there was absolutely mind-boggling, that the St. Louis Cardinals have 5 of the top 6 hitters with runners in scoring position in the National League. So Freddie Freeman was 2nd, and everybody else was a Cardinal. So, you know, Freeze and Molina and Carpenter, and it was unbelievable. Every single person on that team that needs to hit in the clutch hits in the clutch. So that's a tough team. That's a tough team to beat.
Yeah.
So even if Pittsburgh wins today, and Pittsburgh has a pretty serious home field, I think the fact that 4 out of 7 games will be played at the new Busch Stadium, I like the Cardinals. I do. And I also like the fact that even though Liriano is nice, you know, because they had to pitch him before, they had to start A.J. Burnett in game 1, and A.J. Burnett got rocked. So if you could get Liriano twice, possibly 3 times, going up against Adam Wainwright, that's one thing. But back in the rotation, I mean, they're going to have to figure out if they want to go with Burnett again in game 4.
It's
going to
be fascinating. I think we're both going with the Cardinals in this one, you know. And last night, you know, hey, the show, you know, we're on Friday, so we didn't get to, you know, pick. So I don't want to, you know, say we're jumping on the party. But, you know, I've got the Dodgers beating the Braves also. And I think last night they showed why they're so special and how they can attack a team And I really even have the Dodgers coming out the National League too.
Well, the thing is, the Dodgers, that 1-2-3 in the rotation, I think, is unstoppable. So
Clayton.
I think that, you know, we kept saying Clayton Kershaw, Greinke, and Ryu, and if you can pitch, especially in a short series, if you can pitch those three, I mean, you could win 3-0. I maybe Atlanta may not win a game. So even though Atlanta has
right, the first round is best out of five, because you were saying the best out of seven for the other
best
one. So,
five,
yeah, the Cardinals, yeah, best out of five, too. Well, and so let me ask you this. So we sort of, you know, talking about National League. Well, the American League starts tonight, and I wonder, you know, I give props to Ray. He said Tampa. I like Tampa, and I liked him in the beginning of the season, but I just thought the Indians might have some, you know, momentum, but you know who had momentum was the Rays, and then Longoria was clutch. Do you think that the Rays, because they know the Red Sox so well, they won't be shook going into Fenway Park. Can they pull this series out, the Rays, with that tough pitching and scrappiness?
I think they can.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going out on the limb and say they will.
Okay.
I'll take the Rays. I like the Rays. Yes, why not? Why not? Let's go. I'm ready for the Rays. I mean, I think David Price, the good thing is that they had to play those two, you know, games. So the Rays actually pitched David Price on Monday, and he's back ready for game two. So you're going to get
A blessing, yeah.
Yeah. And maybe you can get something out of him if you needed him for an inning or two in game five. I don't know. We'll see. But, again, whenever you have teams that have played, you know, with the uneven schedule 18 or 19 times, they definitely know each other. So even Pittsburgh-St. Louis, right, they know each other, right? It's a matter of execution.
Yeah. Division foes.
And I think the Rays, you know, they're not the offensive juggernaut that the Red Sox are, but they can hit. They can hit Longoria and Zobrist and Myers. I mean, these guys can all hit, and they can hit in the clutch, and if Longoria keeps doing what he was doing in those two games and also towards the second half of the season, I like the Rays. I like their pitching. I like Rodney at the back end of their bullpen. I think the Rays can pull it out in six or seven.
Well, you know, I kind of have to agree with you here, because I think that the look, we both buried Boston in the beginning of the season, and they've been outstanding and tied for the best record with the Cardinals, but I think not only do the Rays have momentum and I think better pitching, I like the, you know, Maddon as the manager, but I think I like the Rays intangibles. This, you know, Jennings and the rookie Myers. I like Longoria, you know, like you said, Zobrist's clutch, but that bullpen and the Rays starting pitching to me, it's just, you know, it's a little bit better than the Red Sox, but you got to be careful because that Red Sox lineup is so scrappy, and like the Dodgers, they just come on a hit parade and manufacture runs. Now, look, you already picked the Tigers, and I already picked the A's in the upset, and I might be regretting it, but I'm going to stick with it because I just think the Tigers, honestly, if I was really honest with myself, even with Sanchez, Scherzer, and Verlander, the pitching is just too much, right? So the Tigers could easily win. I'm just going with sort of like just maybe the home field and something, a miracle happening for the A's. But I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays as well with you. You know, so I guess the reality is, what's your World Series pick? Let's go ahead and put it out there before these series, you know, get eaten up and, you know, people don't say we're just faking the funk.
I like the Tigers and the Dodgers.
Oof. And then who wins that one?
Oof.
I know you want to say it.
Pick against the Dodgers with that pitching, but I think the Rays, I mean the Tigers, because they lost last year, because of the emergence of Scherzer, they've got a 1-2, and Anibal Sanchez is a heck of a 3. So their 1-2-3 in a 7-game series is just about as good as Kershaw, Greinke, and Ryu. So I think that they're pitching negates each other, so it comes back to hitting. And I think that these guys haven't been in the World Series and don't have enough playoff experience. Adrian Gonzalez doesn't have much. Puig, of course, is new. Hanley Ramirez doesn't have a lot. So I think that they're not going to deliver in the clutch as much as those Tigers are, who felt the brunt of last year losing in the World Series. So I like the Tigers to beat the Dodgers.
All right. Well, look, I'm going to tell you real quick, and it's just straightforward. I got the Rays and Dodgers, and I got the Dodgers winning it. So that's the official Tigers for Ray, Dodgers for Tay. And now let's talk about college football. Before we break down these three, like, games, because they're going to be great, you know, starting off with my alma mater, last night, I think Iowa State got a little jerked. I think it was a fumble on the goal line. You feel sorry for the head coach. His speech was, you know, will be in infamy now. I think Texas is lucky, and I think they're going to get smoked next week against Oklahoma. And I think, you know, there'll be some sort of football god's revenge on them when Oklahoma just puts it on Texas. But you got to feel bad for the Iowa State kids who played a heck of a game on ESPN Thursday night against Texas. What'd you think about the call and just the way that they played for Iowa State?
Yeah, look, I mean, this happens. You know, you get a bad call. You typically don't get that bad call at home. But it looks like there was a fumble, and it looks like there was clear indication that Iowa State recovered the fumble, and that would have been essentially the end of the game right there. So should Iowa State have won? Yeah, but they didn't really outplay them. It's not like they were up 40-10. And then suddenly
they were up 6, and they didn't stop them. So.
Right, and they didn't stop them. And they didn't stop them on the goal line, right? It's not like you know, they didn't drive the ball all the way down the field. So, look, Texas is a shell of itself. They're probably going to, you know, fire or ask Mack Brown to leave at the end of the year. So there's going to be a big search for who's going to be the replacement. I mean, maybe they get Kevin Sumlin from Texas A&M to come over or somebody else. But, you know, it's just going to be a down year for Texas. And look, bad calls happen. I don't think it's some grand conspiracy for the Longhorns and the Longhorn Network. It just happens, you know. So,
well, how about 12 o'clock, ESPN, I know what I'm doing, 9 o'clock on the Pacific, number 25, my Maryland Terrapins, can I get a young Terps?
Oh, Lord.
At Florida State, number 8, this is big, this is huge, C.J. Brown against Jameis Winston, famous Jameis. Look, I'm excited. I think it could be too much for Maryland. But I don't care. I got to go with Stephon Diggs. I got to go with Ross. I just think this team, they went through so much the way they played last year with like 4 or 5 different quarterbacks. I think they're ready for this. They had the week off to prepare. You know, look, I mean, Winston is incredible. They got Shaw. The team is good. Florida State is good. It could be too much with that crowd, but I'm just going to go with the upset. The Maryland Terrapins pull it off 30-28 against Florida State and the Seminoles.
Oh, my God. So Florida State's offense is averaging 51 points a game. Now, the Maryland defense is averaging 10 points allowed. So right there is your question. Can you guys stop famous Jameis?
The rookie chokes.
Yeah, famous Jameis and also, you know, Freeman and Shaw. Are you able to stop or at least slow them down? So I actually don't think you will. I think Maryland will put up a fight, but I think in the second half, this game's in Tallahassee, Doak Campbell Stadium, all the fans are going to be, you know, typical Florida State crazy. And now that they're, you know, a top 10 team again, all that swag is going to come back. I think they got you. I think they got you in the second half. I think it's going to be something like 35-21.
Okay,
I like Florida State in this game big.
Well, let's keep it moving. Next we got, and there's some other good games that aren't ranked, like Arizona State, Notre Dame. That was close to being a ranked game. You know, hopefully, you know, I think ASU will take care of them. But, you know, we're talking about the ranked games. So you got Ohio State going into Northwestern. Number 4 and number 16, what are you thinking?
I want Northwestern and Fitzgerald to win so badly.
Yeah,
I like
I know,
that program. I like they turned it around. You know, Evanston,
Big
Illinois. I saw a couple games in there in the 90s when they had that resurgence before the coach ran off to Colorado. Oh,
right.
I want to see Northwestern win. I really do. I really want Hall to rush the ball. I think he's got something like 8 touchdowns already. I want them to stop Hall, basically. I want Northwestern's D to come up big and stop him.
You mean Carlos Hyde? Can they stop Carlos Hyde or Hall? Because I think Hyde is, now that he's back healthy, he's going to get tote the carries more than even Hall, I think.
Yeah, you might be right.
We'll see.
You know, and then the question is, obviously, Ohio State has so much depth. So
yeah.
even if you wanted to, you wanted to run the ball, you got two backs there that you could run, you know, 25 times.
Northwestern's got that kid Green. Green
yeah.
is a beast. He's got a 404
yeah.
yards, five touchdowns. So he's playing some good ball too.
Yeah,
all right, give
is.
Me a score. Come on.
I think it'll be closer than you think, but ultimately I think Ohio State wins 24-17.
Ooh, you got a low-scoring game. You know, it's so funny. Anytime I think low-scoring in college football, it's like these games are in the, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s. Even, you know, the SEC battles have been the big ranked teams. But I sort of agree with you. I think Northwestern hangs in there. I think Ohio State just wears them out. I'm going to go 27-23 Ohio State. I think it gets real close, but I think Ohio State is just a little too much. And Braxton Miller will be a little bit more healthy this week. So, you know. And then in our nightcap on ESPN late at night for all those watching, and Charles Davis said it on our college, you know, football preview show, watch out for the Washington Huskies. Well, listen, this week they get tested, and then they have to play Oregon too. But right now the Huskies, you got to give them some love and some respect. They're coming in at, 15? They're going to number five. And so the question is, can the Stanford Cardinal at home handle this, you know, Washington excited, fast-paced offense? And I think
they got a heck of a D, too. They're averaging just under 11 points a game allowed.
Their defense is outstanding, but this kid Price is electric. You know, I like how they move the ball. The wide receiver Smith is a beast. But I think Stanford, what you got to realize is that this kid Hogan is slowly developing to like an Andrew Luck Jr. He just doesn't make too many mistakes. He's already got 10 TDs. He's solid. And Coach David Shaw, man, he's got them going. He's got them going. You know, he said it in our show about their program that it's just they need unique special players that they recruit. And these players are not just smart. They're just solid big boys. So I got Stanford in a good battle, pulling away from Washington. I think they wind up winning 30-21.
I think you're right. I think Stanford takes revenge on the fact that, remember, they lost to Washington and they looked terrible. I think that they only ran for something like 65 yards, and Josh Nunez couldn't complete the ball. It was under 50% completion, and he only threw for 170 yards. So this team remembers that. This team is going to take exception to that loss that they had last year. Kevin Hogan's going to lead this team to victory, and it's all about that Oregon game. You're not listening to me. It's all about Stanford Oregon. I hope so anyway. I hope they're both undefeated going into that game. But I think Stanford wins in this game. I'll give you a weird score, 33-18.
Hmm. 33-18.
I think there'll be some safeties or something, like our missed extra points or something crazy like that.
Okay. Look, like they say sometimes, or they used to say, I'll buy that for $1, you know. So it's going to be great. Watch college football, some great, you know, SEC battles this week. Everybody, you know, just good games all around. And, you know, we'll see Bama and Oregon and these teams continue to probably dominate. But now we got to talk about Thursday night football. They honor Jim Brown. I went with Cleveland, you went with the Bills. The Browns special team showed up. Your boy Travis Benjamin was off the chain. You know, unfortunately, Hoyer gets hurt early. He's out for the season.
Torn ACL.
That's upsetting. Torn ACL. They won 37-24. You know, Jim Brown got the game ball in the locker room. It was really cool. You got to be excited for the Browns. McGahee, you know, 72 yards. It's not great, but it sucks up the clock. He helped move the chains, controlled the ball. They didn't ask too much for Whedon. He gets 197 yards. What did you think about the Browns, who are now the top and might remain after the weekend at the top of the AFC North? How'd you like this game? With our boy Fred Jackson getting busy in fantasy football, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
in the
Pittsburgh just added two more home runs. Russell Martin and Cole hit home runs.
Wow.
So
look at
they've
that.
They've got five home runs, or four, sorry. Alvarez. Sorry, I was looking at the RBIs. It's actually Alvarez is the only one that hit home runs, but Bird
right.
drove in a run, Martin drove in a run, and Cole drove in a run. So the
Bird
Pirates
and
are
Martin,
now up
man.
5-0. Yes. Good
yeah.
for them.
No, big win.
Back
I mean,
to
big lead.
Look, I'm happy for the Browns because that's a real diehard football town. I'm happy for the Browns also because they traded away their best offensive player in season and got nothing in return. I mean, they get a first rounder, right? That'll help them next year. But they didn't get
right.
anything for this year, right? So they traded a productive player for nothing. I'm sad for the Browns because Hoyer blew his ACL out, but Weeden maybe with this gets a little more
too.
Confidence back. I don't think the Browns – and their defense actually didn't play great because their defense is usually much better than they played. I mean, they did have a pick six and they had a punt return for a touchdown, but their defense still gave up a fair amount of points to a Buffalo team that wasn't even at full strength.
And E.J. Manuel's hurt now, too.
Yeah, and E.J. Manuel got hurt, exactly. Stevie Johnson has a bad back. So in some ways, the defense didn't play great, but the offense did just enough to win the game. I think the Bengals are a couple seasons away from being, you know, decent and a playoff contending team, but I'd like to see that they're 3-2, and I'd like to see that they're not in the cellar, right?
Right, the Browns, right? Yeah,
the
no,
Browns.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So good for them, and then they'll reload. It's funny because everybody thought that their picks were going to be so low they could mess around, and now this Teddy Bridgewater pick is going to be a 10-12, you know, 8-12 pick instead of a top 5 pick if they keep winning games here. But, look, they're taking advantage of the schedule that they've been given. Pittsburgh's a little weaker this year, so maybe they have a chance to you know, be middle of the pack in the NFC North and not just be the doormat. So good for the Browns.
Yeah, no, it's exciting, and, you know, it's a great sports, you know, and football town, a great sports town. And so after that Indians loss, they sort of needed that. And speaking of great sports towns, let's move forward to Sunday. This team can travel on the road. They're still undefeated. The Saints at the Chicago Bears. This right here is, I mean, there's some great matchups this week. This is one of the stellar ones. For me, you know, obviously fantasy, we saw it in our, you know, in one of our fantasy leagues where, you know, our boy G Money, you know, has got Sproles, Graham, and Breeze, and they put up 114 points in fantasy for him. I think this week, you know, hey, you still continue to play the Saints against the Bears. I think we might be surprised. I think this might actually be a shootout. Normally you'd say that the Saints don't travel well, but I think that this is where the offensive line of the Bears gets tested. I think Ryan gets some, you know, exotic blitzes going. And I think the Saints win sort of a shootout. Not crazily high because you don't know about the weather, but I'll say that the Saints win 28-27 over the Bears in a really good, really good game.
Wow. I think the Bears are good, but I think they're a little bit overrated. I don't think they're as good as people thought when they looked at their record. I still think that there's something missing. I can't put my finger on it. And the Saints, luckily for them, this game is not in New Orleans, because if this game were in New Orleans, I think the Saints would just blow them out. Now, because this game's in Chicago, I think the Saints will still be able to put up points. I think the Saints put up 31, and
Ooh.
I don't know that the Bears can do that. So I think the Bears put up 23. So I like the Saints 31-23. The Saints are just too much. They just have too much. And unless the Bears start to establish that running game with Forte, I think that middle – you know, those check downs to Forte, those short passes to Brandon Marshall, you know, the tight end who's finally doing things after, you know, stays in Dallas and the Giants, Martellus Bennett. I think that the Saints will be able to contain the Bears' offense and win by 8.
Yeah, well, we shall see. Just a quick update. It's 5-1 Pirates. over the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, Yadier Molina hit a solo homer.
You know, so our boy Molina, baby. Oh, definitely respect to Molina. So let's move on. The Patriots, another undefeated team, going to a team that's, you know, been a little disappointing, just lost to the Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals. The question, I think, for me in this game is, number one, can either team run the ball? And, you know, obviously with Vince Wilfork out, that hurts the Patriots. I think for some reason, maybe this is where the Patriots lose. Maybe Cincinnati has an advantage in the scheduling where they got Green Bay and now the Patriots at home. I think it might be enough to turn them around and wake up. I don't think they're going to lose again after they lost to Cleveland. I think this is where the Patriots might get out-dueled. But this is going to be a tough one. This is going to be close. I got to go like 27-26. They win, maybe kicking a field goal at the end. So I'll take the Bengals over the Patriots. 27-26.
I agree. I think 2 weeks ago they had a great game to beat the Packers, and then they go out and lay an egg against the Browns. So Cincinnati's frustrating me right now. They're on my radar for, you know, most frustrating team given their talent and given the fact that I thought they'd win the AFC North. But I do think they get fired up to play New England. I think eventually the fact that New England doesn't have their offensive arsenal together, and with all due respect to Julian Edelman and Ken Brell Tompkins and, you know, Vereen and a banged-up Stephen Ridley and, you know, Gronkowski isn't back yet, and even when he does come back his first week or two, he won't be totally healthy. So I think that's got to catch up to the Patriots at some point. They played the Bills and they played the Jets, and so they got away a little bit with an easier schedule. I think going on the road to Cincinnati, I think that Cincinnati D is tough. They're going to give Brady, the front four is going to give Brady a hard time. So I'd like Cincinnati.
And they signed Boley. They signed Michael Boley in there, who was with Zimmerman before. So let's see, the veteran linebacker could step in and fill in for them. So,
yeah, so
I agree.
Like Cincinnati, 27-24.
Okay, before we get to this huge Seattle Colt game, we got two games here that we just got to give scores on because they're big games. Detroit at Green Bay. Detroit's looked like they've turned it around. I got to say, I think Green Bay wins this one like 31-24. Calvin Johnson's banged up, and I don't know if Reggie Bush will explode like that again. What do you think about Detroit, Green Bay, and give me a score real quick?
Yeah, I think same thing. Green Bay wins in a close game, 30-28. I think it'll be a high
scoring
game.
And then we got to – oh, yeah, no. It's going to be a great division game. But then we got to mention the 5-0 Chiefs. I mean 4-0 Chiefs looking to go 5-0. Kansas City at Tennessee. Ryan Fitzpatrick throws a lot of interceptions. They haven't got the running game going, and I don't know if they can get it going against the Chiefs. So I have Kansas City winning again at Tennessee on the road. I don't think it'll be that hard for them, but give Tennessee props in their defense. It'll be tough. I'm going to say 23-20, a hard-fought win. Alex Smith, the game manager, gets the victory.
I'll go the other way on that. Even though Tennessee is banged up, and even though they don't have Kenny Britt, I like Kendall Wright. I like Chris
Nate
Johnson
Washington.
Eventually is going to have a big game. Nate Washington, that D, you know, Greg Williams has him playing. So I think Kansas City is not as good as a 4-0 team as some of the other ones. They're not elite. They're not like, a few of these other 4-0 teams. So I think Tennessee wins.
The ride stops here?
Yeah, I think Tennessee wins 24-20.
Okay, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, this is going to be exciting, the battle of two of the, you know, two-year quarterback stars, you know, RG3 as well. Listen, Seattle is, they're road warriors. They're going into Indianapolis. We'll see what, you know, Trent Richardson could do. I just have a funny feeling that it's not going to be enough with Fleener and Hilton and Reggie Wayne with the Seattle defense and secondary. I think Seattle will play faster on, you know, in the dome. I think it actually helps them. And I think they pull out a battle. This game is going to be sort of, you know, back and forth like the Seattle Texans game. And I just think Seattle is going to get their third road victory. And I think they win this one 24-23. Russell Wilson just does enough. And Marshawn Lynch, he's going to run on that Colts defense.
He's going to go beast
with
mode?
The Skittles. With the Skittle, beast mode. He'll throw up 100 and a TD, definitely. I go Seattle 24-23.
You know, I was very, very impressed with Indianapolis beating the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this Indianapolis team is for real. I don't know if they can win a Super Bowl, but I think that they can certainly give people all they can handle. So even if Seattle wins, I think it'll be a battle for Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Having said that, you know what? I'm going to say that in Lucas Oil Stadium, it'll come down to a fourth quarter comeback, and Andrew Luck is going to pull a Russell Wilson on Russell Wilson's team and their defense. And even though Browner and Sherman are excellent and Cam Chancellor, that secondary is unbelievable. I think Trent Richardson will start to get his groove back, start to learn the offense and feel more comfortable. I think Colby Fleener will matriculate the ball down the field. You know, I got him on fantasy, so I'm rooting for him. And I think Seattle is just significantly less, potent away from home. And just like they arguably should have lost in Houston, which is a hard place to win, I think similarly Lucas Oil is going to turn into that for the Colts. I think the Colts win a very, very close game, 24-23.
Oh, the opposite of me. Okay. Listen, I can't argue with that. Now, this one's interesting. I know our boy, rest in peace, Kwame would love this one because he went to school with Cooper and Peyton Manning before he moved to Philadelphia down in New Orleans. And you got the Broncos and Peyton Manning against all y'all because there's a million of you Cowboy fans out there that I know.
How about
the
Cowboys?
Broncos and Cowboys. Well, guess what? I think Cowboys step up and give them – an amazing game, but they still lose. I think the Cowboys lose this one 31-30, and I'm talking this is the fantasy game of the week. You're going to see all the Manning guys get their stats. No Sean Moreno will get his runs. DeMarco Murray is the key. If Cowboys want to pull the upset, Murray needs 130, two touchdowns, and clock management. It's the only way you beat Peyton Manning. Don't have him on the field. But I just think the Broncos each week, their defense and the running game is improving, and he's starting to learn Thomas and Welker more. And so I think the Broncos pull this one out 31-30 on the Cowboys in a duel in the house that Jerry built.
So I agree with what you said about the only way for the Cowboys to win this game has to be to run the ball, run it effectively, take one or two possessions away from Peyton Manning, but they're so efficient. And this might end up going down as being the best offensive team in the history of football. So having said that, I think the Cowboys always play well when their backs are against the wall. Right, they win one, lose one, win one, lose one. And this is a game where the public spotlight's going to be on them, and they tend to do well in those type of games, that desperation type of game. But Denver's too good. I think Denver puts up 38 on the Cowboys, and I think the Cowboys can only put up 30. So I like Denver 38-30.
Wow. Listen, neither one of us could just find a way to pick the Cowboys, and that's just how it is because it's tough. It's really tough. So we go here to the Sunday Night Classic, the Texans and poor Texans playing Seattle and the Niners back-to-back weeks, the Texans at the 49ers. You know, this is one of those games where if the Texans could ever pull this out, it would save their season and Schaub and people talking about putting in Yates and just all the stuff. I just don't see the Niners at home losing again. I think the Colts snuck, kind of punched them in the gut and snuck them. I think they're back to their winning ways. Kaepernick running with Gore. Davis is more healthy this week, Anquan Boldin. But I think it's going to be a tough one. I really think they're going to barely pull this one out. I got a 26-23, the Niners at home edging out, and my boy Phil Dawson, 43-yard field goal for the victory at the end.
I think Houston is devastated from last week's loss to Seattle. Had they won that game, I think they would have come in with some confidence and given San Francisco a run for the money in Candlestick. The last year of Candlestick, by the way. They're finally getting rid of that awful stadium and moving to a brand new one down
in
Santa Clara. It should be beautiful. And it's going to be all high tech and
be nice.
Geared
Come
up.
On.
It's going to be a great home field. So I want to see Houston. I really do. I picked them 2 years ago to go to the Super Bowl. I love Arian Foster. I think Schaub is getting a bad rap. But three straight pick sixes, I mean, how can you not get on them? I just think they're a little bit, there's going to be a little bit of a hangover, negative hangover from last week, and I think Houston loses. I think San Francisco's D is too tough. I think they'll cause a few turnovers, and I think they ultimately pull away. And I like the Niners in this game, 28-21.
Okay, so we're both on the same with the Niners and that situation. So, look, real quick, before we get to our fantasy heroes and zeros, I just got to ask you, can the Giants finally get a win and beat the Eagles this week?
But both of those teams need a win, right? The loser.
No, they both do.
If the Giants lose, they're 0-5, and if the Eagles lose, they're 1-4. So they're both as desperate. I don't know. I mean, these games are so hard to predict. But you know what?
David Deal is back, and that's going to help the running game and the passing game.
Right.
And
so
the Eagles defense
is suspect.
I'm going
to go out and say I can't see the Giants going 0-5. So I'm going to say the Giants step up, win a game at home at MetLife Stadium, and they take care of their business against the Eagles, and they win the game. Close game, 27-24.
I got the Giants, 31-28. Last one, real quick, for our boy Hank, Baltimore, and our boy Stacy, the Ravens, defending champs at the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to go first. I got to tell you like this. I just think the Dolphins, they sort of got awakened on, you know, Monday Night Football with the Saints, but they weren't bad. They just got to get the offensive line together, and I think that they could probably run a little bit on the Ravens. I think Ravens play good, but not good enough. I think Miami sort of wakes up at home, and I think they win 24-21 over the Ravens.
I don't know where the offense is going to come from the Ravens, and Joe Flacco's 5 interceptions last week did him no good, but he's got that $20 million per year salary in the bank, so he's not worried about it. Nobody's looking over his shoulder. So I think he bounces back. I like Baltimore. I don't think Miami's that good a team. I think they were undefeated 3-0. People got excited. The Saints really, proved who was the better.
They beat the Colts and the Browns. Two big wins now.
That's true. I just like the Ravens as a better team, and I think they go in there and they hold Miami to 17. And the Ravens themselves score 23. So 23-17 Ravens.
All right. So, look, we're going to have a little bit of fun with the fantasy stuff. For me, we're going to talk about fantasy heroes and zeros real quick. We'll pick a couple. You know what? I'm going to say that my fantasy hero this week, and, you know, he's been really bad, but I think this week the fantasy hero is going to be the real hero will be Eli Manning as they get the win. I think Eli doesn't throw a pick. I think he gets about 3 touchdowns, and I think that his stats for people that need him badly, I think you play Eli Manning this week, and I think Eli Manning will be a fantasy hero.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Give me a good hero.
A good hero? Not a zero, but a good hero. Oh.
Get with this hero. Cut that zero.
Exactly. So I'll give you a fantasy hero. I'll give you somebody that's a little bit under the radar screen. I'm going to give you a cat by the name of Brandon LaFell.
Mm.
Now, he's been flirted
out
with
here in the desert against Arizona.
In the past.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you've got a nice little secondary there, so expectations are low. And I think that Brandon LaFell is going to come out and have a breakout game, not because he's going to consistently dominate, but I think that there'll be a couple of chances where Cam Newton on a little play action or a little, fake will be able to go over the top. And
okay.
I think that the recipient of that will be Brandon LaFell. So I look for Brandon LaFell maybe to get 4 catches for 105 and a couple of touchdowns.
Okay, don't sleep on Ted Ginn Jr. going deep as well. So now
look,
we're going to talk about this. Yep, the zeros. For me, it's from one team. It's the Jaguars. And the combination, look, you're not going to care or start Blaine Gabbert anyway. Nobody will. But he is a definite zero. But I'm going to say a star. Led the league in rushing 2 years ago. Maurice Jones-Drew is a zero. The Rams' defense will step up. They will blow this team out and win, you know, like maybe, you know, 30-10. But they will win this game, you know, 24-10. But the zero is Maurice Jones-Drew for me. He just doesn't have it this year. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the O-line. Maybe it's just Gabbert. The whole team.
Locked down. Okay.
Yeah.
My guy is Andre Johnson. Don't play Andre. He's a little banged up. He's been nursing some injuries. That San Francisco D. San Francisco wants to prove that they're an elite team, and I think they're going to take it out on Matt Schaub. And I think that Arian Foster is going to have an average game, but I think they're going to shut down. They're going to make it a point to shut down Andre Johnson.
Wow.
He's not a zero, right? He's just a don't look for much for him this week. Now, there's a lot of bye weeks, so we need to remind the fans. Remember, I got caught out there this week because I have three Vikings. So remember that the Vikings, the Steelers, the Bucks, and the Redskins are on bye. So Pierre Garçon, Robert Griffin
III,
Alfred
Antonio
Morris,
Brown,
Doug Martin, Vincent Jackson, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, obviously, Adrian Peterson, Kyle Rudolph, Le'Veon Bell, yeah.
Now that's a zero, Kyle Rudolph.
That's a zero, but he's on bye.
That's a zero.
You can't give him a zero when he's on bye.
All right. Real quick in the special, remember, Sunday night, Chargers, Raiders, high scoring, Terrell Pryor looks good. I got the Chargers winning 30-27 over the Raiders.
I think the Raiders won't even be able to score that much. I hate the fact that they do that on the same baseball field that the A's are playing on the day before. So on that sloppy field, I think Phil Rivers is underrated this year, if you can even believe that. I think he puts up 30.
He's a hero, yeah.
I think he puts up 30. I think the Raiders put up 20, and they win by 10.
Okay. That's real. That's real. You heard it from Ray and Tay. And listen, check out our picks. Compare with us. You know, check us out. Go to the website, rayandtaytoday.com. We will see you Monday back at our regular time, 6 p.m. Eastern. You know, we came to you today a little early, special early show with all the playoffs going on and stuff. And have a great sports weekend. We set off your sports weekend right. That's how I feel, right, Ray? We hit them right with the sports weekend.
Absolutely.
What they need to get into.
Our predictions, our zeros and heroes. So have a great sports weekend. Have a great real-life weekend. And we'll see you on the other side on Monday, Ray and Tay Today. Thanks for spending your Friday with us.
Talking sports with friends.
Seen how you do with your lost ass crew. That's why I got the roadmap just for you. Hop it in your car, boat, or plane. Can't save this low brain. So I guess you need some education, man. Your rhymes are so simple and plain. For you just walking up the stairs is going against the grain. If I'm forced to spit pain, it ain't no T-Pain or no Lil Wayne or a rock chain. It's Ecomplezy, man. The energetic enigma, the step harder than a sigma. Roar like an omega, smoother than a kappa and an alpha. See you later. So please don't be a hater, cause the E is much greater. And back in 04, I voted for Ralph Nader. And I'm watching out for all them acid and then tomatoes. And when the verse ends, I'ma say see you later. And I'm not the type of cat to ever rock no pink gators. But I'm out of here, but not like Wiener Schwarzenegger.
After 4 bars, brother, just go in.